Good day, and thank you for holding, and welcome to Grupo México Transportes' fourth quarter earnings conference call. With us this afternoon is Mr. Fernando López Guerra, Mr. Isaac Franklin, Mr. Jorge Márquez, and other executives who will discuss the financial performance of the company during the fourth quarter and 2023 annual results, giving you a summary of the latest news and address any questions you may have at the end of the call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that information disclosed on today's call may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's results and prospects, which are subject to risk and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. Grupo México Transportes undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether because of new information, future events, or otherwise. The presentation may be followed through our webcast, but if you wish to ask a question during the Q&A session, you will need to do so via phone call by registering and pressing star one one. A copy of the slides that the company will be reviewing today is available on their website at gmxt.mx. I would like to remind participants that your lines must be in listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session. Now, I will pass the call to Mr. Fernando López Guerra.
Good afternoon, everyone. We're very glad to be here. It's been, I'll go over the highlights of this last quarter and some of the year as well for 2023. It was a good year for us. However, it was an uphill fourth quarter. However, there are certain items that we'd like to highlight that I think are relevant enough for us to comment on and on the positive side. We've gained new border traffics in intermodal and automotive. This has been achieved with the new service and improvements that we've had throughout the network between us, Union Pacific, and Canadian National, which shows that even though that we're through an interline service, we can give a top-of-the-line service throughout North America. This has enabled us to gain legacy contracts as they expire with the competition and with the automakers that continue to grow throughout Mexico. In order for us to achieve this, and Jorge will go into further detail, we had to run short trains through the third quarter of 2023. And by short trains, I mean we ran trains with, I believe, even six containers to demonstrate to the customers that we were serious in maintaining service, consistency, and frequencies. And as of January of this year, we have gained those volumes. We started to pick up throughout the last quarter, and in January, we're witnessing the full deployment of these volumes. Also, in the last week of December, we signed a JV where we bought 60% of CGR. These are the rail ferries that serve from Mobile, Alabama, into Coatzacoalcos, and give us connectivity, enables us connectivity with the eastern carriers of the U.S. This JV is with Genesee & Wyoming. As many of you know, this is the largest short line operator and the most successful one in North America, and I believe the entire world. We also did a formal sign-off of the Coatzacoalcos-Medias Aguas line without any contingencies, so that the government and the Secretaría of Marina accepted the line, and that they signed off that it was in optimal conditions. However, we did have a head storm on the migrants and the border shutdown. This was a new item for us, and the volumes that impacted us. We had witnessed migrants, but never on such volumes. As many of you probably saw, there were thousands of them on the train. However, our operating team and the Mexican government and the U.S. government are working very, very well together to maintain fluidity throughout the system. And of course, the most relevant is to be mindful and to be mindful and careful of the migrants and help them in any way we can. However, these cargo trains are not meant to run with migrants on board. Currency did impact us throughout the year with a 13% devaluation on average. However, our 50-50 peso-dollar revenue maintained a balance, but it did impact our peso revenue, which is where we report. Our volume increased in 3%, revenue 3%, with the impact in currency that I just commented on. Well, our board approved a 50 share dividend for the quarter. We repurchased 39.2 million shares at an average price of 37.7 pesos. And we will go into further detail of the CAPEX we will be deploying CAPEX for 8,584 million and OPEX for almost 2,000 million pesos. To go into further detail on the revenue, Jorge, if you can, Jorge Marquez, our Chief Marketing.
Thank you, Fernando. Good afternoon, everyone. Our revenues for the fourth quarter increased 1%, totaling 13.9 billion. Our volumes were up 3% in net ton kilometers as compared to 2022, driven by our strong results in the consumer sectors. We also had a price increase of 2%. That was offset by the exchange rate effect from our dollar denominated rates. On the next slide, we had namely two business units with double-digit revenue growth, beginning with automotive, with an increase of 26% as compared to last year's fourth quarter. Additional equipment availability, as well as increased automotive freight and service delivery made this happen. We were awarded four new contracts during the quarter that began volume ramp up during the fourth quarter and started to show that growth. In intermodal, the increase of 13% was driven by our Mexican cross-border and auto part operations, as well as FAK. This was partially offset by a downturn in the intermodal business unit in the United States, which is across the board. So we are we're happy to report this growth in Mexico. The one unit business unit that has a significant double-digit contraction is metals. That 14% contraction is related to reduced production in Mexico, which decreased scrap metal demand in the entire country. Next slide, please. I will now pass it on to Isaac Franklin, our CFO, to discuss our financial highlights.
Thank you, Jorge, and good afternoon, everyone. On slide number five, during the last quarter of the year, our operations faced different situations outside of our control, which has affected our results. However, thanks to the company's good performance in terms of volume, operating efficiencies, and the efforts to resolve and minimize those effects, we were able to close 2023, showing growth compared to the previous year. The fourth quarter revenue grew 1.2% and 3.4% on a cumulative basis compared to the same periods last year, totaling 56.4 billion pesos. Due to the combination of increases in transported volumes and prices, but offset by an exchange loss over the revenue denominated in dollars due to the revaluation of the peso against the dollar. The fourth quarter operating cost increased 9.8% due to the extraordinary increase in our operating cost, which I will break down on the next slide. However, for the year, the cost increase is 4.9%, which indicates good cost control and reflects the operational efficiencies achieved during 2023. The administrative costs for the last quarter and full year show a decrease of 14.8% and 6% respectively. The decrease is mainly due to a reduction in the profit sharing reserve for the year. Other income from the sales of obsolete material and scrap has credited our cost by 9 million pesos in the quarter and 192 million pesos in the full year. The total increase in operating costs during the quarter is 9% and 4.3% for the full year. The EBITDA of the fourth quarter recorded 5.7 billion pesos, a significant positive amount despite showing a contraction of 8% against the fourth quarter of 2022 and a total of 25.5 billion pesos for the 2023, 2.3% above last year with a margin of 45.2%, a reduction of 40 basis points due to the unfavorable cost effect during the last quarter. We find the same situation in the net profit and earnings per share, where is a profit of 1.9 billion pesos in the last quarter and 8.5 billion pesos accumulated in 2023, 12.9% below the cumulative figure for 2022. The historical performance of EBITDA clearly shows that despite the contraction of the last quarter, the trend of growth in the result of the year is maintained. In the next slide, in the cost breakdown, the slide shows the breakdown of the main cost increases during the quarter. We had 205 million pesos more in labor costs due to the increase in overtime and recruits as a consequence of the immigration crisis and the temporary closure of the United States border bridges, followed by another cost increase due to higher volumes, 205 million in car hire, 120 million for terminal services, 58 million in freight, and 35 million on loading and unloading operations. A slight increase in the cost of diesel due to variation in price and volume, and 9 million pesos in other items. In the next slide, the operating metrics, our operational indicator have helped us achieve the increase shown in this period. The speed of the train increased by 2%, maintaining timely service to our customers. In the operation of the yards, the dwell time was improved by 4%, and with this, the speed of the car increased 1%. Additionally, the use of horsepower per ton, per trailing ton transported has remained at the same level as the previous year, and we continue working to recover performance in some of our indicators that were affected as consequence of the last quarter situation, such as the train length, tons per train, and the average number of crew starts. In the next slide, the CAPEX for the GMXT for 2023, the Board of Directors has authorized a 2024 CAPEX program of 8.6 billion pesos to be deployed on projects of maintenance, growth, and efficiency, which will allow GMXT to continue growing and improving service, as well as optimize the performance of our productivity indicators. As Fernando mentioned, we have the next slide, please. As Fernando mentioned, we signed an agreement to acquire 60% of CGR, the rail ferries, 50% from C-Corp, and 10% from Germany, Sierra, and Wyoming. This is the rail ferry that moves rail cars from Coatzacoalcos to Mobile, Alabama. And for the commercial part, I'll turn back to Jorge.
Thank you, Isaac. On the next slide, we're showing our view of what that explains our need for this acquisition. With the CGR, we now can see that the southeast of Mexico gains direct access to the east coast of the United States, effectively becoming a border region for manufacturing with competitive logistics in both costs and transit time.
With as Jorge was also mentioning, and I was mentioning some slides before, we gain direct access now to the NS, to the CSX, to to the Canadian National. So with this, we now achieve full connectivity with all of the Class 1 railroad. And another very, very relevant point is that the Isthmus Corridor, which is where the Mexican government has been investing significant resources, becomes a new manufacturing region for all of North America, where we have very competitive energy, competitive labor, and we run the costs, you know, and we joke around with the numbers, and we practically turn the southeast of Mexico into another Tijuana or Ciudad Juarez, and as of a matter of connectivity in time and cost to serve the east coast of the U.S., which is probably the largest consumer market in the world. It's the largest consumption market within the U.S., and the U.S. being the largest consumption market out there. So we were very thrilled with this project, with the connectivity it brings to us, so alternatives it brings to our network, and also how competitive we make and contribute to make the Southeast region, adding with the effort that the Mexican government is making for this region and Central America.
All right, for 2024, what we see looking forward based on the recent awards and our current performance, we can see and expect a volume growth of 5 to 7%, revenue growth of 8 to 10%, and our CapEx to support this growth is going to be 8,584 million pesos. And with that, I turn it back for questions.
Thank you. And as a reminder to our teleaudience, if you do have a question, simply press *11 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. One moment for our first question. Our first question comes from the line of Isabella Salazar with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. I understand that the border crossing is back open, but the migrant crisis is still an ongoing issue. Do you expect this to continue to pressure costs in the coming quarters? And if so, would we continue to see it reflected in a growth of labor costs? Or would it impact any other costs too? Could you give us some detail in this?
Sure, exactly. If you want, I'll take any time. We learned a lot from the last quarter, and we have adapted to this reality. The government of Mexico has been reacting very, very efficiently and on timely manner every time we ask for help. So we are monitoring all the migrant caravans that are moving northbound, and we're working ahead with the Mexican government. On the operating part of the train, we're being very selective and very coordinating carefully with authorities to know which trains to stop, where to stop them. And it's not a matter of stopping across the board. So we're being the same way we have addressed other types of challenges through theft and vandalism. We are now adapting to this reality, and the Mexican authorities are stepping up. So we're no longer, our crews are not expiring. We're no longer stopping equipment across the network. So this is a whole new reality from last quarter to this one. Isaac, do you have anything else do you want to add?
No, just to reaffirm what's being said, that we are now adapting all the operation to the current situation and collaborating very, very close with the authorities in order to prevent as much as we can in any other situation. But what we are seeing is fluidity and in our network and not having the same problems we had last quarter.
And Isabella, just to be clear, our cost to were impacted severely because when you start stopping trains across the network with border shutdowns or stopping trains for migrants, then the crews expire. You need to call a second or a third crew for this, the exact same train. So inefficiencies kick in throughout the network. The same for the fleet. We're paying car hire for rail cars on a per hour basis. So rail cars sitting there is costing us as well. And the same for locomotives from international locomotives. So it's fluidity throughout the system is our major focus.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And just a quick follow-up regarding your 2024 guidance. Could you give us your exchange rate assumption and how could current rate change this guidance?
We're forecasting 1750. Isaac?
See, we have a 13% reevaluation of the peso.
For 2024, it's 1750.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. One moment for our next question, please. It comes from the line of Andres Aguirre with GBM. Please proceed with your question.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. Could you give us more detail on the decision to acquire Carrabuque? Do you expect this acquisition to unlock some synergies, or maybe it expands your reach into strategic transportation segments?
Yes, well, the strategy behind acquiring Ferrobuque is Ferrobuque connects, as it was said before, connects the Ferrosur concession we have with the East Coast, with the Midwest and East Coast of the United States, and allow us to connect with some other Class 1 railroads. We are either an origin or a destination for all the freight that moves through Ferrobuque, so we see a very good opportunity in order to grow our business, and it's a very strategic point of origin or destination, since the federal government is investing heavily in the Istmo corridor. So we are convinced that we may grow the traffic and the volumes and have another point of access to the United States.
Yeah, thanks on the detail. Just a quick follow-up on capital allocation. We saw you were active on buybacks in this quarter. Will you expect this trend to continue, or will there be any space for extraordinary dividends?
Sorry for the delay. Sometimes we wait for transcripts as the sound is not very clear. Isaac, did you get the transcript?
Sorry, I didn't catch it.
So I understand this is our, what are we going to do on buyback? Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
As you've seen throughout the year and the past years, whenever every time the stock gets to a certain threshold, which becomes attractive, we start buying back. We have been cleared by the board to continue buying back, and but it depends on which level, no?
Andres, does that answer your question? You need clarification?
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
Thank you. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, simply press *11 on your telephone. One moment for our next question, please. It comes from the line of Andrea Quesada with MetLife. Please proceed.
Hi. I would appreciate if you can give some comments on the possibly passenger service concession. What investments are you doing, and what do you expect from that segment? Also, if you can comment on the debt maturities of this year, how do you plan to repay them or refinance them? Thank you.
On the passenger service, we presented a first letter of intent to the Mexican government, stating that we were interested in studying the passenger service, and that we are happy to get involved and help them develop this. There are certain corridors that make sense. And we would like to participate in understanding how to help. More specifically, certain, if you look across the world, there are certain corridors that make sense between major cities that without not so long distance, that don't compete with airplanes and so on. But what we're saying is we're going to help, and we'll figure it out. How to work with them alongside. You need to be careful running cars and passengers on the same track. As you know, in Florida, the Brightline runs on our line. However, there was significant infrastructure over almost $3 billion were deployed between a private company and grants that they got from the government. To deploy a double track and a third track whenever it was necessary, so that the cargo capacity was not impacted.
And regarding the maturity of the bond we have this year, we are planning to pay. If nothing comes up as investment or any other expense that we might have.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm not showing any further questions in the queue, sir.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
We have one more question if you do have time. Thank you. And it comes from the line of Areli Villeda with Invex. Areli Villeda with Invex, please proceed.
Thank you. It's just that I need a clarification about the proposal for the passenger trains. That wasn't too clear because I think that there was some problem with the audio. So I understand that you tried to understand how that would work and that you will participate in the three major cities. So can you clarify that, please?
I think we were very clear saying it's just a letter of intent, and we will make the studies regarding what would work and what wouldn't alongside the Mexican government. That is all.
Just with the studies, right?
Justice Torres.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And that's all the time we have for our questions. I will pass it back to the company for final remarks.
It was a hard quarter for us with these challenges. We're happy in what we learned, and we're very, very happy in what all the volumes that we have captured throughout last year and the last quarter as well, which we will capitalize to this year. And so we will work hard to get you better numbers for the first quarter of 2024. And I believe that is all for us. Thank you for your time.
And with that, we conclude our program for today. Thank you all for participating, and you may now disconnect. Thank you.